Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you for tuning in and for always being here. I hope that you're doing well and finding moments of peace in your life. And that is the topic of today's show. I sat down with Roberta Hughes, who is the founder and lead instructor at Peaceful Living. She works with her clients to find moments of peace and joy in their life so that they can get to value and purpose. Roberta is also a trained yoga and meditation instructor. She does this live and she does video on demand. Today we talked about everything from how you declutter your thoughts and what part social media plays in not being able to find peace. She also talked about self-care. And I learned that self-care doesn't have to be those big moments, spa dates, and carving out hours of time, but finding the little meaningful things that bring you peace. I could go on and on about Roberta, but I think it's time that you hear about her journey and she shares her advice with you. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Roberta, welcome. Welcome to Women Worldwide.
Thank you so much for having me here today. I've been listening to your podcast and I'm excited to be a guest and to share a little bit about peaceful living with you.
Well, thank you. And I think that the Women Worldwide Network will love to hear more about peaceful living, because I think that's what we're all looking for. Finding those moments of peace are so important. That's where my first question comes in. What actually led you down the path to want to help people find more peace in their lives or in their work?
It really started off as being a young mother of two children. I was married to someone who was in the Air Force and found myself all on my own quite often, trying to manage two small children, parenting, moving homes. And then also I started teaching on Air Force bases to active duty soldiers and just seeing how stress can manifest in a person's life, but then also building tools to help with the symptoms of stress so that they don't overwhelm us and overcome us, and to be able to nourish and nurture ourselves throughout the course of a day so we don't get burnt out and we can show up as the best version of ourselves.
That is, I think, understanding the symptoms of stress. And you mentioned the nourish and the nurture. We learn it and we try to stick with it, but sometimes I feel like everything that's around us pulls us out of that peacefulness. So there's something about how much of your thinking is involved with this. Is this about your thought process to get you to de-stress, to declutter your thoughts? Maybe you can comment on that.
Mindset and self-awareness are definitely two elements of beginning to declutter your thoughts and beginning to make time for yourself again. I think in our adult lives, we tend to move into the doing of life. Some people will call it adulting, all the responsibilities that come our way when we become adults and we move away from home. And growing up, those of us who had welcoming, nurturing environments, our parents were always there to remind us to take care of ourselves. Once we become adults and then we're trying to get new jobs, we're trying to be successful, we're maybe building a family, everything is going out into the world. And oftentimes we get left to the bottom of our list. And it doesn't happen on purpose. I think it happens by circumstance. So decluttering the thoughts means to kind of take a look at what is happening and being aware of it. Where are you feeling the stress creep in and the stress take over? And from that place, you then have the resources to start to look at how you can make a difference, how you can change your response to stressful situations, to stressful environments.
Oh, I really like this. Well, first of all, on the note of adulting, my daughter said to me the other day, and she's 27 years old, the fact that this isn't easy. She has her own business. She owns a home. And this is the adulting and the stress that you're speaking to. When you live with your parents and it is nurturing, it's a lot easier. And there are the reminders. You said something about feeling the stress, being aware. I kind of feel you're also saying that the reflection is important. That ability to say, what caused this? Or what is making me feel this way is an important part of the process. And I guess once you discover what that is, maybe you can come up with some kind of a plan to move forward. And that's where I'm thinking with what you do with your clients, how do you help with that plan? How do you make it different so it's personal and it sticks for them?
Every human being is unique and we all have unique needs. The number one thing that a person will tell me when they join my community is that they don't have time to add self-care in. And the first thing that we do is look for ways to create what I call white space in their calendar. And that white space can fluctuate because many of my clients don't have a regular 8-to-5 schedule or 9-to-5 schedule. They do many different things throughout the courses of their days and their weeks. And I just met with a woman this morning who owns her own business, and she's trying to get everything complete by December 14th because she likes to take the last 2 weeks of December off. So I asked her, how are you going to take care of yourself between now and then? And she hadn't even considered that part. You know, she was looking at how to take care of her clients, her family, her responsibilities. So having another set of eyes to kind of point out where things might be possible. And to help you realize, oh, I did forget about me.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of forgetting about me or me time. That white space is a really important part of, or first step, I would think, toward the self-care. Is the definition of self-care the same for everyone, or is it different? Like, can you ever get enough self-care?
I feel like self-care is really designed to be 50% of our health and well-being. Our bodies were meant to work and our bodies were meant to rest. And most of us put 80 to 90% of our energy into work, whether that's a job or family or responsibility, building a business. All of those things are work. And when the body doesn't get an opportunity to rest, it starts to show up as health issues, fatigue, not feeling good, not being as productive. So for productivity to be at its optimal, I think self-care needs to be at least 50%. And when people think of self-care, I think the myth is that we have to carve out these big things. Mm-hmm. We need to take an hour to do a class or to go to the gym, or we need to go get a massage. We need someone else to do something for us for self-care. Instead, I show people how to create self-care rituals that fit into the course of their day, things that create a feeling of comfort, that create a feeling of peace, that create a feeling of nourishment. So just like we have to train our bodies to be healthy and strong, we need to train our brains and our nervous system how to decompress and rest and restore.
And I think what you're saying is really important because it is about training your brain. First, there's this discipline that we need to do something. And then once you have the discipline, it becomes a habit. And that's the neuroplasticity where you can teach an old dog new tricks because you can carve new pathways in your brain. And you're actually speaking to this. What are some little ways. If you were going to give examples, maybe even your own examples of what self-care looks like, that doesn't have to be the mani-pedi, the massage, I'm going to go horseback riding for an hour that takes you far away from your day. What are some little ways?
So for me, the daily rituals of self-care include basic hygiene, really. Brushing my teeth. When I'm brushing my teeth, I also have this little routine that I do to stretch my feet and my ankles and to work the muscles in my feet. While I'm washing my face, I have a gua sha stone. So then I do a little bit of gua sha on my face. I have a whole skincare ritual that I follow every morning. And during that time, because these practices don't take any thought, that's my time to just be creative, to let my creative brain flourish, because I'm being nurtured and cared for. That creativity is sparked during that time of day for me. So that's just one. I could continue if you would like.
Well, first, let's go back, because you mentioned something I've never heard of before. Maybe there's other people who are watching or listening that are saying, gua sha stone? what is a gua sha stone?
Gua sha is it's a type of facial massage. And the gua sha stones are usually made out of natural materials like jade or rose quartz. They have healing qualities. And the stone itself has different curves and carvings along the edges to really affect the muscles in your face, and also to help with lymphatic drainage. So if you ever want to treat yourself to a facial, look up someone who does gua sha. It is the most relaxing and restorative and rejuvenating facial that you'll ever have.
I think I'm going to look that up. I have a jade roller. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but I rub it on my face, and you always rub up. I'm not sure why. And you rub up on your eyes. It's got a little roller and then a larger roller. And you do it in between your eyes and on your forehead. It feels so good. And I think the effects of it are supposed to smooth out any lines that you have. But ultimately, it just feels really nice. And I think that is a part of my self-care.
So yeah, simple. And so the rollers are also part of that facial massage and gua sha energy. Oh. And we have so many acupressure points in our face, so it can stimulate the nervous system, the rest and digest system, and it can bring in that calming effect, as well as, you know, to work the muscles of our face. Most of us don't do anything with the muscles in our face, and that's when we start to get the wrinkles and the lax skin in the face. So our muscles in the face need work just like every other muscle in the body.
Wow. Now, when you say stimulate the nervous system, I know there's two ways. It's parasympathetic and sympathetic. So is it the parasympathetic nervous system that is the calming system with that vagus nerve?
Yes. And when we think of stimulating the nervous system, sometimes the person might think, well, why would I want to do that? Because they're thinking of the fight and flight.
Yes.
But the parasympathetic nervous system, if you think of it as a muscle, if you will, if we don't do practices to stimulate that, it loses its strength and its power. And if most of us are doing activities that really stimulate the sympathetic nervous system, yeah, that flight and fight, our bodies forget how to settle and how to rest. And that's when we start to feel anxious and stressed.
Yes. Yeah, that vagus nerve I was reading about, learning about. And I think there's different ways, even smiling, yawning, and there's one more. Oh, it was humming. When you hum or sing, you're stimulating that part of the nervous system, and that has a really happy effect. And if you think about it, people who are humming and singing usually are quite happy. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then
definitely.
There's one little trick that I have. I rub my hands together like this, and I make some heat, and then I just take them to the back of my neck and lightly pull down towards the chest. And if you do that two or three times, you'll feel the calming effect of that.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, with my clients, I do communications training. I do the rubbing of the hands and then I let them feel the energy and then put it on their heart. But now I'm going to try that exercise with the back and then move toward the heart. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're sharing a lot. I'm wondering if you could just talk about maybe a moment that got you to realize something in your career, that aha moment, or even an uh-oh moment that really stuck with you. Because I know that you said that you found the way down your path because of kind of your lifestyle and your husband and his work. But was there a particular moment that happened to you where you said, oh my gosh, this is it, or this is a big learning moment for me?
So in 2016, I actually went through a very difficult divorce. So I'm no longer married to my husband that was in the Air Force. And that decision took a lot of courage to make. And it really surprised a lot of people because I am really good at self-regulating and nourishing and nurturing myself. When I realized that those elements were missing from the relationship, it started to really wear on my heart and my energy. And I had never really shared the harder parts with others. I had kept them to myself. So when I made this decision, mm-hmm. it was a surprise to my kids. It was a surprise to my family. And it almost felt like I had betrayed people that I loved by choosing what was best for me. But then I also knew that in doing that, I was able to step into what I was meant to do in the world and to live more from a truthful place than a place of feeling almost numb to life. And that wasn't who I was. And at that same time, a couple of years before that, I think this is actually what inspired the divorce. I had the opportunity to work with a young woman with Down syndrome for 2 years. And I helped her over the course of 2 years lose 108 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
And I had never known personally a person with a developmental disability prior to that. And when I saw what was possible with just attention and love and care and showing up for another human being authentically, she really taught me that, because people with Down syndrome don't have the same blocks that we do. They are so vulnerable. They're so authentic. They're so open and pure. And being around that and seeing all of her emotions come and go, you know, from being angry to being joyful to being excited to being grateful, just being in the pureness of that, I could feel how I wanted more of that in my life.
Well, she is an inspiration and so are you. Thank you for sharing that. That's really brave, because it must have, even though it was a long time coming for you, it's hard to sometimes deal with all of the influences around us that tend to shape us or think that they even know us so well. And when you come into your own and you make that shift, everything starts to shift. Sometimes it's in a good way and sometimes not. So to navigate that is unbelievable. And that is quite the moment, which kind of begs the next question. We have these moments where, you know, you just spoke of a big aha moment. You were inspired, you moved it into your life, and you made changes. Every single day, we can find this balance of peace and have self-care, but something will pop up. All you have to do, right, Roberta, is look at your phone. Maybe it's social media, or it's you get your news curated in some app. What happens when you find yourself not being so peaceful? You don't have time for the self-nurture moment. How do you get back to peacefulness? Do you have any advice there?
Find practices that you can rely on. So I always encourage people to start building their toolbox when the risk is low, Because in those moments where we get triggered and our nervous system is in the fight and flight and our emotions are all over the place, we're not in a place to then say, oh, I'm going to go do this for the first time and it might help me feel better, or I'm going to go get a massage, or I'm going to self-regulate somehow. You have to plant those seeds over time and have familiar practices. So for me, I can go into my closet and just go into child's pose and take some deep breaths. Mm-hmm. I can put on a guided meditation from one of my teachers because she really nourishes me. I have all of these things that I can turn to. Sometimes I'll just take my dogs to the front yard in the summer and sit in the grass and put my electronics away. I take my dog for a walk every day during the golden hour, I call it, when the sun is setting. So depending on the time of day, I have many things available to me that I know help me nourish and nurture and let go of the stress that might have shown up. And I also am very intentional about identifying my triggers, and I encourage others to do that too. So if you know that you're triggered by your social media, but you still love it, well, maybe pick a time of day to go in there where you can handle it, not between meetings, not, you know, on your way to go pick your children up from school, not when you're trying to end your work day and transition into home life and relationships. You know, those triggers are going to leave a residue on how you behave and interact with others.
Well, you read my mind, because I was just going to ask about the triggers and how important or not is it to understand yourself and to know what might set you off. I would also add, when you identify, and you gave a great example about social media, when to go, also maybe limiting your time. Does that make a difference? So whether it's social media or there's somebody in your immediate realm, it could even be your family or a friend who you adore, but after a certain point, maybe it's too much time spent. Do you ever recommend that as well?
Healthy boundaries are always recommended, and each person needs to determine what a healthy boundary is for them. For me, I try to put my cell phone away at 8 p.m. every evening. I try to keep it away from me when I'm working on creativity, writing, or teaching those elements. I know that social media takes my brain away from showing up the way that I need to for those moments. Toxic people, those relationships are really difficult to navigate, and sometimes it is difficult to set boundaries. And it could start with being as simple as, yes, I can do that for this amount of time, and giving a time stamp on things. You know, if they want to meet you for lunch, for example, yes, I can meet you, but then I have another thing that's on my calendar at this time, and I really do need to leave. Because there are people that don't respect our boundaries and that will take more time than we're willing and able to give. But then oftentimes we don't have a voice in that moment, and we let them take that time, and then we're feeling the stress of that later.
Yes, that is so smart. Well, I can hardly believe I'm going to ask you to give parting advice. I mean, you've given so much advice already, but is there anything that you just want to share with the Women Worldwide Network?
Yeah, so I know, you know, self-care can be this big, ambiguous idea, and the idea of putting ourselves first, especially as women, doesn't come natural. And I know it's not easy, and having a support system in place can really be what you need to start moving yourself up your list and to remind yourself that your needs matter, that you're important. And by nourishing and nurturing yourself, you're giving yourself the fuel that you need to do all of the things that you want to do and need to do in your life.
Excellent advice. You need that support system, and your needs matter. Remember that, everybody. Well, Roberta, last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and all the great work you're doing?
So my website is peacefulliving.com. I have an online community, and I offer instruction in yoga, Pilates, and meditation. Every new member gets to come in for free. And with that free 30 days, you get a 4-week plan from me, personalized just for mm-hmm. you. I am also on LinkedIn and Instagram. So my Instagram is Roberta_peacefulliving, and peaceful has two L's, so three L's in a row. My LinkedIn, I'm Roberta Hughes, and on Facebook, I believe it's Roberta Peaceful Living. I can never remember my Facebook. I don't use it as often anymore.
Well, I hope everybody finds you, Roberta. Thank you so much for sharing all of your advice and helpful insights on how we can be a little bit more peaceful and take care of our own needs. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me as your guest today. It was a joy to be here.
You're welcome. And to all of you out there, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you. And you know, I always say, keep the conversations going, the feedback coming. You know where to find me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Dee Breckenridge. And also, I'm on LinkedIn. Okay, everybody, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.